Hi gang, thanks for downloading this classic episode of News Fighters. Just a reminder, if you're looking for new original episodes of News Fighters, they're now over on the Irrational Fear podcast feed. So search for Irrational Fear on your podcasting app or go to irrationalfear.com for all new episodes of News Fighters. In the meantime, enjoy this classic News Fighters episode.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
This is News Fighters, where we fight the news so you don't have to.
With Dylan Behan.
Yeah, g'day everyone. Welcome to News Fighters for today. It's the 29th of October, 2021. Episode 87 of the News Fighters podcast. If you haven't listened before, where have you been? Because News Fighters is a very humorous look back at the week in Aussie news and politics, presented by me, Dylan Bain, the Barnaby Joyce of burnt out has-been news comedy video editors. Also joining us is my old mate Stefan, stopping by to tell us about his Halloween plans and his new spin-off podcast he's going to launch.
Get ready to be shocked and frightened, because you're going to be so scared. You're almost called the ambulance.
But first, to the big climate news of the week here in Australia.
Tonight, finally, the plan to reach net zero by 2050.
The pledge to reach net zero by 2050. But there are still big questions over the plan to get there.
It's a plan that is uniquely Australian. That's how Prime Minister Scott Morrison has described the federal government's strategy to achieve net zero emissions by 2050.
Scott Morrison commits to net zero emissions by 2050.
The Australian way.
Yes, a uniquely Australian plan, which probably means they just came up with some random plan when they were drunk and they just promised to hand out a bunch of money and do a bunch of pork barreling. Oh no, wait, actually, I'm probably not wrong.
The Nationals say they've secured all sorts of concessions, but won't give any details.
Because it's cabinet incompetence.
But Barnaby Joyce has refused to say what he's actually achieved in these negotiations and what he's extracted from the Prime Minister in exchange for his party's support.
Yes, that's right. The Nationals finally agreed to net zero thanks to being promised information unavailable at the present time. Great. Well, that's reassuring. Well, with Barnaby in charge, they probably just signed it away for a case of Forex gold, a pig on a spit, and the abolition of the bonk ban. Well, say what you will, at least Scott Morrison finally got all the Nationals MPs to support the net zero policy, right?
The Coalition's candidate in a key seat in Queensland says he will campaign against net zero, and Senator Matt Canavan has declared he will do the same.
I am going to campaign against the policy, but I do support the election of a Liberal National Party government.
National Senator Matt Canavan says he's going to campaign against the government policy, but campaign for the government. Oh, can't wait to hear his election ads.
The Coalition's net zero plan is a bad plan that will cost jobs, cost taxpayers, and hurt regional Australia. So this election day,
vote for the Coalition anyway. Authorised by Matt Canavan, the massive hypocrite. Matt Canavan also said this about the policy.
And I don't think people really realise when they hear net zero, that means they want to transition you to be a vegan.
Now, of course, Canavan was referencing the fact that other countries want Australia to undertake a 30% methane cut by 2030, impacting livestock and farming, something Barnaby Joyce is naturally against because he's not sure how he can cut his methane output by 30%, but also because eating beef three times a day is clearly how Barnaby keeps his figure so lean and his complexion so meat sweaty. But Greens leader Adam Bandt insisted that cutting methane by this much actually wouldn't impact farmers.
Scott Morrison could sign this methane pledge without having to touch a single cow.
Yeah, so I was going to make a joke here about Scott Morrison touching cows, but this week he's again said he wants to sue people for defamation online, so I'll leave that joke making up to you.
That we must hold social media platforms to account.
But anyways, back to Scott Morrison's net zero... what was it again?
It's a plan. Our plan is a fair plan. Australians want a plan, and our plan, our plan, our plan, and our plan, our plan, our plan, our plan, our plan is the plan. It's also a plan. It's not a plan. This is a good plan for you. It's a good plan for all Australians with this plan. So I'll be taking this plan as part of our plan. It's a plan that we get the plan right.
The word plan was mentioned at today's press conference more than 100 times in 55 minutes.
My God, I haven't heard the word plan mentioned so much since I watched that Perfect Strangers marathon.
Well, don't worry. I have...
Oh, God.
...a plan. Balky, I have...
Oh, God.
...a plan. I have...
Oh, God.
...a plan.
Okay, so on to the plan Scott Morrison unveiled on Tuesday. What were the policy details?
But his plan is light on detail. It contains no new funding and relies on existing policies.
The government presented a 15-page PowerPoint document announcing in bold font that the plan is based on our existing policies.
Missing from the big announcement, though, the modelling on how to get there and the Deputy Prime Minister, Barnaby Joyce.
All right, do us a favour. Please never mention the words Barnaby Joyce and modelling in the same sentence ever again. All right, so the policy is there's no new policies. Jeez, imagine if you announced you were going to get rid of, I don't know, serial killers, but doing it without any anti-serial killer policies. How are you going to get rid of them? Just hope they go away? Okay, so no new policies, but surely there's going to be some new laws or legislation, right?
The government has made clear it won't pass laws for the net zero target.
And also no plan to legislate that target.
It doesn't legislate them. It doesn't mandate them. It doesn't force them.
Again, imagine if the government said we're definitely going to get rid of serial killers, but not actually legislate to make killing multiple people even illegal. Or even legislate a policy of there being zero serial killers. Okay, we're against serial killers, but we're not going to mandate it. I mean, if you want an idea of this government's screwed up priorities, they can't even be bothered making any legislation to stop the real and existential threat of climate change, but this week found time to legislate against an entirely imagined threat that doesn't even exist.
Voters could be forced to show identification in order to cast a ballot at the polls, part of a bill introduced to federal parliament today to counter fraud.
At the last election, the Electoral Commission said 2,000 people were marked off the roll more than once. Of those, 20 were referred to police and no one was prosecuted.
These new voter ID laws will do absolutely nothing to stop the minuscule 0.01% of people who accidentally vote multiple times, because according to the Sydney Morning Herald, they're mostly confused senior citizens and people from non-English speaking backgrounds. Instead, this law is just going to disenfranchise people without IDs, like homeless people, Indigenous people, my idiot friends who keep losing their wallets, and those bodybuilders in Bondi who keep turning up to vote in their budgie smugglers. You can't expect them to carry ID in their tiny little togs or forego a swim before they vote on election day, can you? Clearly, this law is un-Australian. Anyways, back to the net zero document, I guess we'll call it, and let's look at exactly how it lays out that we're going to get to net zero.
According to the government, we're already 20% down the road. A further 40% will come from the technology investment roadmap, things like hydrogen, solar, batteries, and burying carbon. A further 15% will come from global trends, another 10% from offsets, and the final 15% from emerging technology.
Yes, 15% from global trends. I assume that means like tacos and bubble tea and K-pop and stuff, right? And sorry, what was that about technology?
The deal struck relies on emerging and unknown technologies.
Emerging and unknown technologies, yes. Yeah, like an alien spaceship from space is just going to come down and gift us some kind of magical machine that, you know, I don't know, turns like sunlight or wind or running water into electricity. wait, we already have that technology and we don't utilize it enough. Stupid humans! Morrison says there'll be some amazing technological advances coming our way.
Anyone who walk into any JB Hi-Fi store anywhere in the country today, and when they walked in there 5 years ago, will know the change in the price of what they were buying today to what it was 5 years ago.
All right, first of all, a good iPhone costs like $2,000 now, so that's clearly not true. And second of all, like, JB Hi-Fi has actually got worse over the last 5 years. I'm sorry, I can no longer buy a 3D TV to watch my 3D Blu-ray of the 2010 classic movie Cats and Dogs 2, The Revenge of Kitty Galore in 3D. Yes, it's an actual movie, and I can't watch it because technology's gone backwards, I tell you. But there are some existing potential technologies the government is pushing.
That how? Investment in clean hydrogen?
$20 billion being invested in new technologies like clean hydrogen.
Yes, clean hydrogen. You know, Twiggy Forrest's new favourite toy, because it doesn't even have to be clean to be called clean, as Fran Kelly pointed out to Angus Taylor back in April.
Is it green hydrogen or hydrogen made with fossil fuels?
It's clean hydrogen.
What's that mean?
That's the point. It's clean hydrogen.
So it's not made with fossil fuels?
Let's not declare war on industries.
I'm not declaring war. I'm asking you, is it made with fossil fuels or made with renewable energy?
The point that many make when they're asking that question is we can't possibly make anything from fossil fuels. Well, you know what? If it's zero emissions, it's fine. That's the point. It's got to be clean.
Okay. So it will be made with fossil fuels, and how do we make it zero emissions?
It's a little bit like if someone launched a new hamburger and they claimed it was low-fat and vegan, but it was actually made from pure pork belly. Yum, yum. Okay, what other great technological innovations is the government hyping up?
Carbon capture and storage is one.
Carbon capture and storage?
Carbon capture and storage to deliver those net reductions.
Ah, yes, carbon capture. You know, that magical technology that makes carbon dioxide harmless that conservative politicians have been talking up since well before No Time to Die was meant to come out, which is like 20,000 years ago. But the technology is here now, according to Liberal MP Tim Wilson.
Let's talk about the innovation that's going on in stored carbon through briquettes. I'm in Canberra right now, and there's a local business that is finding a way to take carbon essentially from the atmosphere and store into briquettes and to become part of building materials.
Oh, great. A company in Canberra is going to build you a house made out of carbon briquettes. That sounds bloody safe. You ever wanted to live in Canberra? No. How about if I build you a house made out of carbon? Doesn't that make moving to Canberra sound tempting? All right, what's another technology the government is relying on?
Improved measurement of soil carbon is another.
Soil measuring? How about instead of changing the way we measure things, we just burn less coal and build more renewables? Has anyone thought about that? No, of course not. Why would you want to do that when you can just keep mining coal?
We don't have to shut Australia down, stop digging things up, stop planting things to achieve net zero. Australians don't have to be punished to achieve net zero. We're not going to tax you. We're not going to shut you down. You can keep still digging things up and planting things and running your farms, and we'll get there because technology will get us there. Mm.
While promising emissions reductions, not standing in the way of proposed new coal ventures.
If they stack up, they stack up. Legal investments in this country are still legal.
All right, great. So we're going to get to net zero with none of us having to change our behaviours, no industries being forced to adapt, and we can keep mining coal and burning it to make electricity. Sounds too good to be true. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to start my new summer swimwear diet where I lose 10 kilograms by sitting on the couch and eating ice cream because magical future technology will get me there. Of course, the international media gave our plan the exact reaction it deserved.
The Prime Minister's long-awaited plan to get to net zero by 2050 has been slammed by the global media.
CNN says it's the weakest climate pledge of any rich country going to Glasgow. The New York Times says this plan is built on hope and little else.
Well, I reject all of that.
Ah, well, case closed then. Scott Morrison rejected the criticism, so the plan must be perfect. Case closed. Podcast over. Everyone go home. No, seriously, though, it's amazing we even got this net zero plan when Morrison says we're doing so bloody well at cutting emissions already.
Australia has reduced our emissions by more than 20%. That's what we've actually achieved. That's greater than the US, the UK, New Zealand, Canada. We've got the highest rate of rooftop solar in the world. We've got record rates of renewable investment. So Australia is taking action on climate change. So I said, our emissions reduction, better than New Zealand, better than the United States, better than Canada, better than Japan.
Wow, we're doing better than all those countries? No, because it's a goddamn lie. Take out the land use changes loophole, and our emissions have actually gone up since 2005 compared to all those countries. And as for...
We've got the highest rate of rooftop solar in the world.
Well, that's absolutely no thanks to Scott Morrison or the federal government, and absolutely thanks to everyone being fed up with government inaction and the lack of cheap, clean energy available, and everyone just deciding to take things into their own hands. It's a bit like taking credit for picking the car up from the garage when actually your wife did it months after you were meant to do it because she was sick of waiting for you to do anything. Geez, glad I did that thing that I was meant to but didn't get around to and someone else did. Good job. On top of all this, this non-binding 2050 plan doesn't even have improved goals for 2030, which is what the whole world is saying we need to do right now to avert disaster.
The coalition has refused to upgrade its 2030 target,
which is what the United Nations and climate experts are calling for: greater action on climate change by 2030 to avoid a major climate disaster.
Yes, we need a better, solid 2030 target. But ironically, we might not.
Australia's on track to cut emissions by 30 to 35% by 2030, comfortably above the existing target of 26 to 28%, although there'll be no formal increase to this target.
Because that's the commitment I gave to the Australian people.
Why not adopt them as an official target?
What is important is that I act consistent with the mandate I had from the Australian people. They rejected a 45% target at the last election.
Yes, Scott Morrison won't promote our better results because overachieving looks bad. Geez, imagine being his kids. Dad, you know how I said I was going to get an A on my English essay? I actually got an A+. How dare you not act consistently with your original target? You're grounded. Go to bed. Yes, my Scott Morrison impersonation there. Book me now for your Christmas party. Anyways, with such a lackluster, non-binding and easily dodged climate plan, opposition leader Anthony Albanese couldn't wait to tear it to shreds.
The Seinfeld policy launch. All the build-up, and then it was all about nothing. No new policy, net zero new policy, net zero legislation, net zero modelling.
Seinfeld policy? What the hell are you on about, Albo? There was no build-up to Seinfeld. It was an underground sleeper hit that went on to be a massive success and defined television comedy for an entire generation. Jesus, if you're going to throw in a Seinfeld reference, you could have at least said the climate plan was all yada yada yada, or it wasn't sponge-worthy, or the target had shrinkage, or the jerk store called and it wanted its climate policy plan back. Fire your joke writers. Anyways, in summary, we've got a climate change plan that barely does the bare minimum, doesn't go far enough, and is too little too late. Doesn't have any modelling, doesn't have any new policies, doesn't have any legislational mandates, and relies on you to do all the hard work, relies on unproven and yet to be invented technologies, promises it won't adversely impact anybody anywhere ever, and yet members of Scott Morrison's own government are going to campaign against it despite being promised all sorts of secret sweeteners that haven't been revealed yet. This absolute joke of a quote-unquote plan actually makes me want to invoke Boris Johnson's climate idea he mentioned at a press conference with school kids this week.
Speaking to a group of children about the challenges of climate change, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has made a rather unique suggestion on how best to tackle the crisis.
97% of the mass of mammals on this planet is humans, and our animals, yes, our domestic animals. Just 3% is left for the wild. So there's a lot of
we
space
could feed
to
some
do
of
that.
The human beings to the animals.
Well,
that would, couldn't we?
Yes, and personally, I vote that the first humans we turn into animal food are the pathetic coalition climate deniers who came up with this absolutely pathetic
plan. It's not a plan.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, now on News Fighters, it's my absolute pleasure to announce that we've been so successful this year that we're actually going to be branching out and launching a brand new spin-off podcast that's actually not news-related. Yes, and it's perfect timing because it's Halloween this week, and we've decided we're going to jump onto the bandwagon of true crime and also horror podcasts. Turns out these are doing very well at the moment. And the person we've got to host it is our regular sports and entertainment correspondent Stefan Pezur, who's joining us on the line now to introduce this new podcast to the world. Stefan, how are you going, and what's the podcast going to be called?
Thanks, Dylan. I'm going great. Since this is Halloween, get ready to be shocked and frightened.
Ooh.
Because you're going to be so scared.
Yes,
you're almost called the ambulance.
Wow, that's scared.
Very scared.
Yeah,
but get ready.
Yep.
Actually, I haven't chosen a name for it yet.
Oh, okay. But have you got some options there?
I do. Some of the options so far include Ghost Fighters.
Ghost
is
Fighters.
The first one.
Yeah. Okay, so it's like News Fighters but with ghosts. But people will think that's like a knockoff of Ghostbusters. So I don't know. Well, what else you got?
Chat 10 Spooks 3.
Ah, very good. Very Australian.
News Fires presents Spooky Horror Halloween Show.
That's good. I like that one.
Clean and simple there.
Might be a bit tricky outside of Halloween, but I think people get it.
It will be. The Bogan Ghost Experience.
Okay, is it because it's about Bogan ghosts or?
That's right.
Okay, great.
Bogans from out west and the Melbourne's north. Yeah.
Okay. That's exciting.
The Daily Scary Show.
Oh, okay. So instead of like The Daily by the New York Times, it's The Daily Scary Show. So hopefully people who search for The Daily will instead subscribe to The Daily Scary Show. I like it.
That's right.
Smart.
Stefan's True Crime and Haunted House Podcast, sponsored by Burger Rings.
Oh, wow. Have you actually got Burger Rings to sponsor you?
No. Unfortunately, they haven't returned my calls.
Hey, true story though, for everyone listening at home, my lockdown impulse purchase last year was I bought the website burgerrings.com. If anyone wants to check it out, I bought burgerrings.com and right now it redirects to the Cheezels website. So if anyone from Burger Rings wants to contact us, they might get in touch now because I am the owner of burgerrings.com.
How much are you thinking of selling?
Well, I bought it for about $20, so I'll take 30.
Okay, that's a fair deal.
That's a good markup. All right, Stefan, well, it's Halloween this week. What are you going to do to celebrate? And do you have any lollies or snacks there for if kids come around to trick-or-treating? What are you going to give the kids if they come around to trick-or-treat?
Well, I can't give them anything, so I already ate everything. There's no more lollies, no more chocolate. I've been munching away.
All right, so I'll be the kid. Knock, knock, Mr. Stefan, trick-or-treat. You got any lollies for me?
I don't, but here's a banana. Goodbye.
Hey, not going to say no to a banana. That's healthy. That's good.
They shouldn't.
That's good eating. All right, so we've got the names for your podcasts. We can lock that in later, but what's going to be on the first episode? You got the first episode is going to come out this week. What can we expect?
Well, get ready to be scared as hell, because I'll tell you about the scariest house ever.
Ooh.
It's a rundown, ramshack, spooky shack in the suburbs of Sydney, and it costs $3 million.
Okay, what's scary about that?
Just the cost. The house prices are out of control.
Yeah, true. That is scary. I forgot. I'm so used to $3 million being a normal house price in Sydney. Whoa.
Yeah.
Sure is. And what else scary is going to be on the show?
Well, I googled ghosts and found that there was a famous ghost called Casper who was in some comic books and a few cartoon TV shows.
Casper the Ghost, yeah. I think there might be some rights issues with that. How about, you also want to cover true crime stuff. True crime podcasts are huge. There's been a lot of great true crimes happening lately with people disappearing and this kind of thing. So it would be great publicity for News Fighters if we could solve an unsolved murder or locate a missing person or something like that. Any segments at all like that in the pipeline?
Yeah, we have one idea. It's we go on the hunt for former Prime Minister Harold Holt.
Oh wow. And any luck? Did you find him?
No, but when I went swimming for 5 hours, all I found was some dead fish, Tony Abbott's red budgie smugglers, some spare bikes.
Yep.
I photographed a couple having sex on the rocks near Bondi.
Oh, okay. Very good.
And
swimming with the camera.
Yes. Yeah, I was. And yeah. A waterproof camera.
Yeah,
and,
good.
And I also saw Pauline Hanson sunbathing with Donald Trump.
Really? At Bondi?
Yes.
What other crimes and scary things do you want to investigate on the show?
Well, with the help of Scooby-Doo and the mystery van, we'll find out who stole my yogurt.
Right, so that's the crime, who stole your yogurt.
That's right. I want my yogurt and I want it back. This is not right.
That's fair enough. I don't know how much interest there would be for that. Mind you, having listened to a lot of other podcasts recently, that would be more engaging than many of them.
I think so, because we're going into detail about the yogurt, what flavour it was, who made it, how it was made.
Have marimba music in the background. Do you want to give us a line from it, like in your proper like spooky podcast voice of like you searching for the yogurt or something? Go ahead.
Who stole the yogurt from the kitchen table one night? We explore the in-depth details and explore every inch of every step that was taken to find out who took the yogurt and where it went.
Move over, teacher's pet. We've got the next big scary thing in podcasts happening. Oh my goodness.
Has someone ever stolen your yogurt?
Has anyone stolen my yogurt? Look, maybe, but I think I can't remember someone making a podcast out of it. That seems a bit over the top. But there's missing millionaires, there's political assassinations. What makes you think people are going to care about stolen yogurt?
Well, you would too if your yogurt was stolen.
Also, I'm noticing science podcasts are huge at the moment. What about you? Are you keen to cover science on the show?
Yes, I'm keen to bring you the latest scientific discoveries.
Oh, like what?
Well, did you know that poison is poisonous?
Poison is poisonous. Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why it's called poison. Yes.
Okay, then. Have you heard of a thing called water?
Water? Yes, of course.
Really? Water? You've heard of it?
Yeah, water. Yeah, of course. I drink it every day. What about it?
Okay, damn it. Then I have to rewrite the whole damn show. Okay, I've got to go then.
All right, thanks for joining us on News Fighters to talk about your new spin-off podcast for Halloween, Stefan Pazur. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Alrighty, that's News Fighters for today, the 29th of October, 2021. News Fighters, as always, is written, produced, and edited by me, Dylan Bain, for Sans Pants Radio. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube at youtube.com/newsfighters or follow us on your podcasting app of choice. And if you like the social media, you social media butterfly, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at newsfighterspod. To support the show and get bonus episodes, pay to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or join our Patreon at patreon.com/newsfighters, like Shannon did. Thank you, Shannon. Or you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/newsfighters. Also, just a reminder, we refuse to advertise on Facebook, so please sign up for our free Substack newsletter at newsfighters.com, and only a few episodes left before we pack it in for the year, so make sure you sign up to that newsletter to hear about other appearances and projects that are going to be on the boil over the summer. And also, if anyone out there is listening in the industry, I've written up a very good and convincing pitch document to do Newsfighters as a weekly 4-minute wacky clip segment for, I don't know, radio, TV, or online in 2022, because I'd very much like to be using my comedy craftsman skills for not insurance videos. If anyone out there is keen to see my pitch document, drop me a line, dylan@newsfighters.com. Anyways, here it is, your whiff of pine.
So is it true that when you had sedated the boys and they'd been taken back through the cave, and of course you didn't know that, because you were in the cave the whole time while they were each being sedated and then removed.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.